Praise the Lord, everybody, and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. It's me, Pastor John, with A Cup with Pastor, something that the Lord has put into my heart and to continue to do and to bring in, you know, coffee, to bring in Jesus, to bring in great speakers, people that we know, good friends of ours, good family friends, good longtime friends, ministerial friends. So, you know, I believe that God is doing something great with this podcast here. And I want to, hey, good morning, Sister Tracy. I just want to say that it's great to be in the house over here in the house of the virtual house of the Lord, and to be on this podcast with A Cup with Pastor. So, you know how we start off, I usually, you know, ask you, hey, so do you have your cup of coffee or do you have your drink? What is it that you are drinking? What is it, coffee? All right, so Sister Tracy says, oh, she's putting coffee in Jesus. Okay, so what kind of coffee are you drinking? You drinking tea? You know, I've been hearing a lot about this matcha tea, which I haven't gotten into lately. But I have my, and then also what type of coffee cup? I have my coffee cup here. And this one is a nice little shiny one. So this is one of my first pastoral gifts that I received, I want to say year after year one. And it's been with me for so long. It's just a nice sleek design, you know, shiny. It is from Starbucks, but the congregation that purchased it for me. But I'm drinking coffee. That's what I go based off of. I really don't drink any kind of like hot tea unless I'm sick or to get my vocal cords and get that going. But yeah, about to make an Alani. Okay. Hey, it's good to see Sister, you and Brother Lujano there. Good morning to y'all as well. So I just want to say that I have a pretty exciting, show today, a podcast, if you would. And I think it's going to be amazing. I got some of my great friends that are, they pastor at the Power of the Gospel Church. And we've known them for already a few years now, and they have been super awesome and encouraging the work that God has given us. And they've been super awesome with what God has been doing in their own lives and in their church. And I'm going to be bringing them on here shortly, but I just want to say, you know, we do this because we believe in the power of spreading the gospel and the power of in the importance of sharing knowledge with the word of God. So I thought when the Lord at first put this in my heart, it was like, hey, you know, what better way to talk about Jesus and talk about the things of him and everything that, you know, the word of God is, and also drink coffee and sit down with people virtually and allow people to tune in from across the world or tune in from across the city, wherever you may be. And, you know, I was like, well, guess what? You know, this is one of those things where the Lord had put in my heart and I was going to do it. So we're here today because of that. So I thank God for it because, he has provided this opportunity. So if you haven't already, share this podcast, get it out there. I think we're going to be, you know, having a pretty, very good session today. We're going to be talking about just along the lines of, can a Christian be possessed? Can a Christian believer be possessed? Basically that's what we're going to be talking about. So if you've ever wondered about that, if you've heard of the myth that Christians cannot be, possessed or cannot be, you know, cannot have a demon, we're going to address and talk and clarify. And then our good friends, the pastors, are going to come on, and I'm going to be bringing them on here shortly. And they will also share some of their testimonies. They've been doing it nonstop. You want to talk about some heavy hitters, you know, that are in the warfare, that are in the trenches, these pastors are the ones that are in the trenches. They are doing this day in, day out. So I want to bring them on. So let me do that right now. So why don't we just bring them on? We want to welcome. I'm going to cut to a different screen, guys, and I'm going to bring y'all on. Here we go. So, hey, welcome. Welcome to A Cup with Pastor. We got Pastor Hugo and Pastora Myra Vargas from the Power of the Gospel. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor.
It's good to have y'all here. I think y'all could hear us back there, but I was telling them of how much of in the trenches, because these are the generals here. These are the ones that have been in the trenches, you know. So I mean, we go through, you know, we have deliverances occasionally here and there, but you know, we haven't gotten to the day in, day out that y'all are experiencing, and it's amazing to learn from y'all, to hear. We're looking forward to hear your hearing your insights, and so you know, it's good to have y'all on. So if you don't mind, why don't you introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about both of you.
Absolutely, Pastor. Well, first of all, thank you for having us. We're excited to be here. My name is Pastor Hugo Vargas, my beautiful wife, Pastor Myra Vargas. So we've been in ministry for 3 years, something that we never imagined we'd be doing. You know, definitely It's definitely a calling for us. I'll share real quick. I've been a police officer for 19 years. My wife prior to this was working at Verizon Wireless for alongside you, Pastor, for I think she did 17 years. So definitely something we did not expect in our lives, but it's been the greatest promotion we could ever receive. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And Pastora, tell us a little bit about yourself too.
Of course. Thank you. So once again, we are thankful to be here this morning, and we're here to represent Jesus. You know, I've been in ministry for almost all my life. I grew up in the ministry, but, you know, straight away as a young adult and then came back and now serving the Lord full time. So what the Lord has shown us is just incredible, but we're excited to share everything that is going to be talked about.
Yeah. Well, I think that we come to the point in as we continue to progress in life, and we have, you know, technology and all kinds of social media influences, and you start to hear things that we know not, that are, you know, not true. And we start to hear, like, you know, the deliverance stuff is, that's just, you know, that's the old days. We don't do that stuff. As a matter of fact, you could probably survey and call a few churches, you know, here in El Paso, and majority of them will probably tell you, we don't do that stuff. No, that's not really our kind of thing. But the reality is, deliverance is for everybody. It is the children's bread. Amen.
That's so right. Amen.
It is, and it's hitting that myth, that misconception that deliverance isn't important, that, oh, you guys are just being fanatics. And I'm like, no, we're actually, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? That's the word of God says, against powers, spiritual principalities. And so what could y'all share about that? You know, about this ongoing trend of deliverance is, that's too much. You guys are doing too much.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because last weekend, we were in Dallas for a pastoral conference. It was actually a conference on spiritual warfare, deliverance, curse breaking. So we really got to expand our knowledge. So when it comes to this area, this is something that the early church, and I'm speaking of, you know, once the apostles were, you know, had passed, and we're talking the early centuries, about the second, third, fourth centuries, deliverance was a normal thing. I mean, the church continued to operate in it. They continue to cast demons out of people. And it's just become where now in the Western church, and sadly, it's the Western church mainly that has gotten away from deliverance. You know, if we go to Africa, we go to different parts of the world, for them, it's a normal part of their daily walk, you know, in their ministry. So this is something that we need to get back to, because as Paul told the Corinthian church, you know, he said, I don't come with eloquent speech, persuasive words, yes, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And it's like I share with the congregation all the time, what better way to demonstrate God's power than through setting the captives free? And it's all done, not because of us. It's all through the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's something that we need to bring back, because there are so many people in bondage.
That's so many
people in bondage.
Yeah, and you said something, because that, you know, you're saying something really powerful, because that is exactly what it is. People are in bondage. It's like, you can go to a psychiatrist, you can go to these people, you can go to a counselor, you can go and try to get counseling for something that is spiritual. And for the most part, you might be able to, you know, kind of work with it and kind of just, you know, compromise with the feelings. Like, I guess it's just the way I'm supposed to be. But the reality is, we're designed to be free as children of God. We're designed to be living the freedom that he has given us. As a matter of fact, and deliverance is something that is important, because in Mark 16, 17, he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. He says, if you're a believer, we're going to know you're a believer. Well, how do you know you're a believer? Oh, because you drive out demons in the name of Jesus. You speak in new tongues, right? You lay hands on the sick. These are all signs that we have that people tend to miss. But the reality is, it's because the devil does a good job. And I'm not trying to give him credit, but the reality, he's a great deceiver. And he deceives many to believe that, well, you know, this is just who I am. I have to live with my infirmity. I have to live with my condition. I have to live with poverty, right? We've been talking about poverty. We were talking about that the other night. I have to live with poverty. And so it is really understanding, like, no, the children's bread is for the people who love Christ, those who are the believers, those who have accepted him. It is for us to be able to have that freedom against spiritual oppression. So what do y'all think about that? Anything else y'all want to add?
You want to share something?
You know, it just, I think is a great opportunity to talk about that Bible verse that you mentioned. So, you know, these signs will follow those who believe. So a lot of times people think it's, you know, you have to have a certain anointing or a certain calling upon your life or even a gift, but it's not. It's very clear that these signs will follow those who believe. So maybe there is just a lack of belief in the modern church that people need to understand that if the word of God says that, then we got to be able to get out there and fulfill that great commission. Now, it does worry me and concern me that there is so many churches that, you know, people walk in demonized and they leave demonized. You know, we hear nowadays with so many people dealing with mental issues and we know it's not of God. We know that after the pandemic, you know, there was this fear that came upon people. Nowadays, somebody catches a little cold or something, and immediately they think it's the Wu flu, right? So, you know, they go get tested, or you see them with their face mask, and you just begin to see the fear upon them. And it's where we come and say, in the name of Jesus, be set free. So where I'm going with this is that, you know, it is time for the church. It is time for pastors to wake up. It is time for us to be able to be equipped and ensure that if somebody walks into our churches and they're demonized, that they will not walk out with those demons. But in the contrary, that when they walk out with a promise that there is freedom in the name of Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, that leads me to the next part that we were talking with Pastor Ugo here. Pastor Ugo, let's talk about that. What does it mean to be demonized? Well, you know, what's the difference of, hey, you have a demon, demonized, possession, all these words are thrown around, right? He's oppressed, possessed, all these things. Take the lead on that, Pastor Ugo, whatever you feel in the Lord to share, whatever you want to share with that, go for it.
Absolutely, Pastor. So first of all, I want to share the Greek word for demonization. I hope I pronounce it correctly, but it's daimonizomai, daimonizomai. I'm not going to try to say that 10 times. That's a pretty hard word to say. But so I'll read what it says here. It says, to be under the power of a demon, to be demon-possessed, or to be demonized. Now, many scholars are sharing that the proper term is actually to be demonized when it comes to a believer. And I'll explain why. Because a believer in Christ cannot be demon-possessed. Correct. Why? Because the word says that when we receive Christ, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, where does the Holy Spirit dwell? He dwells in our spirit. But, you know, we're a three-part being, just like, you know, Christ made us, you know, a three-part being. We're body, soul, and spirit. So when it comes to the soul and the body, which is the flesh, that is where these things can attack. We know that the soul consists of the mind, will, and emotions. So these things, to be demonized, to be oppressed, you know, they're going to attack our minds. They're going to attack our will, our emotions. And I think that's the biggest area. And I see it nowadays, as my wife touched on mental illness. Before, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago on the police department, we didn't have a mental health unit. Now we do, because mental health is so prevalent. I mean, every day that I'm in patrol, we're getting at least 2 to 3, sometimes even 5 calls a day of someone who has a mental disorder. And of course, we don't call everything a demon. You know, that there are some people that are just, you know, something's not wired correctly in their heads. But for the most part, I mean, these are demons. These are people that are tormented by these things. So I think that's the thing to understand, is that as a believer, we're not possessed, because Satan doesn't own us. You know, we belong to Christ. We belong to the Holy Spirit. Yes. So the correct term to use when it comes for a believer is to be demonized, oppressed, but not possessed. And I think, come on, I love the King James translation. I love the New King James translation, but they use the term demon possessed. And I think that's wrong when it comes to believers.
Yeah. You know, and as you were there talking, it reminded me of what it says in John 3:6, where it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Well, amen. What is born of the flesh is our bodies, right? It is our body. Amen. We naturally born by the flesh. but it is our spirit that is born of the spirit, right? It is the spiritual portion of it. Our human spirit is what is part of what was born of the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about, can it be, you know, can a Christian believer be possessed and all that? Well, we know that if we believe in Christ and we are now with him in his identity, then it cannot be where they have full control, because they don't control us, because we belong to Christ. We have been purchased. We have been redeemed. We have been bought with a price. And so, you know, I wanted to share that too, because that was something that it's important to understand. What is this, you know, what is the soul that we talk about when we talk about, you know, lost souls, or, you know, there's a demon in the soul and all? What is the soul? Well, the soul is the psychological part. You're talking about mental illness, right? Talking about that mental, that portion of the, of our human flesh that is, we cannot see or touch, but we know it exists. It is the psychological part, the mind, you talked about it, the will and the emotions. That is the soul. That is the part that is not born again. That's the part that we got to take every day and subject it to the authority of Jesus Christ, right? Take authority over it. And it affects it. Anything that we do on the, in the mind affects our spirit. That's so right. I think that you were right. You're actually right on the right point. So why don't you share, you said you wanted to talk about some of your examples, you know, and the synagogue one was a nice one too. So go for it, Pastor, both of you.
Yeah. So I'll share on, in the book of Mark, Mark 1 verse 23. So it says, well, I'll start off in verse 21, where it says, Jesus had just started his ministry. So mm-hmm. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I think that's important, you know, the fact that Jesus, he carried authority. Come on. Everywhere he went, he confronted, you know, people that were that had demons. And because of his authority, they would manifest. And that's, we can say that about us as well. You know, the more authority we carry, the more we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
These things will manifest around us. So I think that's something that's really important to note. Now,
can I add something just really quick?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So just really quick, as you're explaining this, because it's where Jesus begins, but Capernaum means the village of comfort. It just reminds me that the first place that he shows up right there is a place where it's a village of comfort. So think of a church that is in a place of comfort.
Come on. Wow.
That's very powerful. Very interesting to know.
Come on.
But I want to read pick it up in verse 23. It says, now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Notice they knew who he was. Mm-hmm. You know, this man walks in and the demons recognized who he was. Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, Jesus obviously rebuked the demons and they were casted out. Something to note about here is that, you know, Jesus did not encounter this guy on the street.
Come on.
He didn't encounter him at the marketplace. Where were they? They were in the synagogue.
In the synagogue.
You know, so obviously these people were seeking Yahweh. Right. They were seeking the Father. Mm-hmm. Obviously they didn't know mm-hmm. about Jesus yet, because he had just arrived on the earth.
Right.
But that's something important to note for today, that there are so many good people. I mean, people that love Jesus, you know, definitely they're saved again, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of our spirits.
Yes, sir. So, come on.
But it's the other stuff. It's the other stuff, the soul, you know, the flesh that can be attacked. And how do we know this? Because every day, you know, we may have a thought that doesn't align to the will of God.
That's right.
So that shows how weak sometimes our soul can be and our flesh, because we live in a fallen world.
That's right.
And when it comes down to it, we are spirit beings.
Yes. I mean,
we are spirit beings first. That's why it is so important for us to always walk in the spirit and not in the flesh.
Come on.
Do you want to add to that?
No, I think you summarized it very well, but it goes back into, you know, just our greatest teacher, our greatest example, which is Jesus, right?
Yes.
The testimony of Jesus, which is, you know, the spirit of prophecy. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, you know, this testimony is like, if Jesus is showing us the way, he's showing us the places where he's going. Now, Capernaum being a village of comfort, reminds me of like a lot of churches that they're so comfortable That's nowadays.
Right. Come on.
That it's like sometimes they just need a little shaking to say, get out of your four walls, get out of your routine, get out of the business as usual, get out of your religion, period.
That's right.
And, you know, shake the ground where people who are bound by things, you know, and some people wear a mask so good, you know, that, you know, you don't even realize that they're demonized until you're able to get in there, just get to know them, and then confront the things that they carry, and they have to be casted out.
That's right. Y'all touched up on that very good. I love what y'all are saying, because it is absolutely, you know, when I was younger and I was inexperienced, I didn't know. I was like, so people would ask me, you know, can a demon be in the church? And then I'm like, no, of course not, because the power of God is there, and no way, you know. And then one day I had a minister friend, he's a pastor now, but he said, you know, he goes, you know, I disagree with you on that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm listening. Like, what would be the why, you know? And he's like, I have experienced it, and experience goes a long way, right? Because you know, he goes, I experienced where we were in a service, and he was preaching, and there was this one young lady. He was, you know, supposedly she was speaking in tongues, but she was just, it was just something was off about her. And for the whole service, she was just there and kind of going and being a little loud and loud in the section. And it was distracting. And at the end of it all, he ends up casting out a devil out of her, like casting out a demon. And as he goes, and at that point, he's I realized that, you know, I realized myself that I was like, oh, so, you know, there's a lot of what we don't know, because it's not really talked about, right?
Churches don't talk about this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but how many people don't have at their altar,
you
know, their guitarist or the key player or the lead worship, you know, singer who is heavily demonized? And
come on.
We hear testimonies like Jenny Weaver.
Yeah.
She was, you know, she was leading the worship team. She had already been there, and then she's heavily demonized. So what are they releasing, you know, when
That's
they have
right.
these people at the altar that are currently compromised? It's so...
And something to consider too, you know, for all of our critics, right, that would be like, well, that can't be and all that. Well, we just talked about the situation and the story in the Word of God. The synagogue was a church. It wasn't called church back then. It was a synagogue. It was when people would come together, talk about the things of God, come together, seek, right? And I mean, it's in there. It's in there, right? And Jesus comes along, and the first thing he encounters is a demon-possessed person. And what does he do? He doesn't shy away. He doesn't say, oh, I'm not, you know, that's too much. I didn't come for this. I didn't come. And he said, you know what? Let's get it out. Let's go. Move out of the way. Get out of my way. I'm on a mission to go somewhere. And, you know, he had to cast out. But if you think about it too, you know, sickness, we encounter sickness, and we have the Holy Spirit. Sickness, it can, you know, and does, it, you know, it is on our bodies. It's a physical part of the body that is attacks our bodies. And even for born again believers, but it's a form of oppression. It's a form of, you know, of having encountering these spirits, because at the end of the day, we are, like you said, Pastor, we're a spiritual being. So on the flesh, the soul, the mind, the emotions, this is where the demons are in. This is where they're attacking. This is where they dwell, not in the deepest place of our spirit, if we are a Holy Ghost filled, you know, Bible believer, and we have given our life to Christ. So I think that's awesome that, you know, y'all touched on, especially the comfort place. That is absolutely right. Too many churches are just, you know, real comfortable. And I get it, you know, like, I know, because I've been at your services. It's not like y'all open up the service and say, all right, let's go, let's attack demons. No, y'all worship, y'all praise, you know, but when the time is right, when the time is there, hey, is anybody feeling this way? Come on up. Hey, is anybody need to be prayed for this? Come on up. And that's where the battle begins, because the spiritual battle truly is, you know, a spiritual thing where we can't see what we're fighting, but it's the spiritual portion of what we know.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. It's when it comes to deliverance, we cannot obsess over it as well, because there are some that what I like to call, they're deliverance junkies.
Yep.
So they feel they have to get their deliverance fix week after week. Now, that's not healthy, because deliverance for us, it's very serious.
Yeah.
We generally, if deliverance breaks out in our church, we generally shut the cameras off just to protect the integrity of people. I know that there's others that do record them, and that's fine. I mean, we choose not to, because we want to keep the integrity of our people.
Agreed.
But it's something that when we look at it, it's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual battle that's happening for that person. And we've seen the power of God just come over people, set them free. And after that, they're never the same. I mean, they're free of sickness. You know, they become free of years of bondage to drugs, to witchcraft, to other various things. So As you mentioned earlier, Pastor, deliverance is the children's bread. It really is. And it's something that, again, Mark 16, 17 says it, you know, all who believe in my name, you will cast out devils. We got to remember when Jesus commissioned his disciples, you know, he sent them out in twos. What were they doing? You know, they were spreading the good news of Jesus. They were casting out demons and they were healing the sick. So again, it's a demonstration of God's spirit and power. So it's definitely something that we need to make normal in our, if we're ministers, you know, we have our churches, our ministries, we need to make it normal again, because there are so many people in bondage. And I feel that as we get closer to the end, it's going to continue to get worse and worse.
That absolutely. And I think it's also critical to understand that the authority of the believer, if you are a believer in Christ and you walk in the spirit, you have authority. It's, and I'm not downplaying the importance of having a shepherd, a pastor, you know, a mentor, a spiritual mentor that can help guide you, right? Because we, like you said, we want to be guided by the spirit of the, you know, the Holy Spirit. And we want to also have mentors that can help guide and instruct us. But what I want to get to is, you know, if it is there and God puts you in that place, you have the authority as a believer. It's not like, you know, oh, this is for the priest, you know, which is a different story, right? All different story. Or this is for the pastors, or this is for the bishops, or this is for the ministers, or let me go call them so they can come do this. No, you have the authority. Why? Because if you are a believer in Christ and you've put on Christ, you now have the authority that comes in his name, just like the disciples did, you know, as the apostles did. And I think that's important to remember, pastors, because a lot of times I hear, even, you know, members in other churches as well. And they'll say like, oh, no, you know, I don't get into that stuff because I'm not ready for it. And I'm like, what do you mean? If whether you're not ready or not, you're going to be attacked. Like the enemy is not going to say he's not ready. Let's leave him alone. He's going to be like, go for him. Go get him. Go get her. You know, infiltrate her mind, infiltrate whatever we can in her life. Bring the generational curses back. Bring this back in. Make it so like tormenting that they don't want to serve God anymore. They don't want to serve. That's their job. While on the other end, on the other side, they're like, no, I don't feel like messing with that right now. And it's like, well, it's going to mess with you, right?
You know what I think about that? I think that if you don't want to have the conversation, you don't want to help someone be set free. One, you don't love the person enough to want to see that person set free.
Come on. So,
and that's a commandment. That's the second commandment that God gave us, right? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's already a violation of the second commandment. Right. I also think about it this way, because God set me free from that. Cowards do not inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Wow. Come on. Uh-oh.
She's preaching now.
Hey, some
I was set free from that.
Come on.
That is awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, and this is something that, you know, the authority, I have learned the authority. It's so powerful calling upon that name of Jesus. And what I mean is, you guys remember the, I know everybody's experienced this, because they call them, what do they call them? Night tremors, night paralysis. That's the medical terminology. Know that. That's an oppressed attack right there. It is the demon, you know, taking advantage of when you're sleeping unconsciously in a way and trying to make you impart fear. But I learned many years ago, and it is so amazing how it worked, that the moment that I would seize up and I would feel that and I'd get all afraid, I couldn't speak, right? Because it prevents you from speaking. At least that's what is making you feel. But in my mind, you can still connect with God and he still hears you. And in my mind, I wouldn't panic. I'd stop and I'd be like, I recognize what this is. And in my mind, I'd say, in the name of Jesus. And instantly that was gone.
That's right.
Yep. How powerful is that? Like, he knows our minds. He knows, you know, and at the mention of his name, demons tremble. The Bible says, right? The demons also believe in Jesus. They know who he is. They know what he has. So, it's, you know, why don't we, right? Why don't we take that authority?
Amen. And the name of Jesus has power. But what we've learned in deliverance, the more you experience it, I like to put it this way: the higher levels, the bigger devils.
That's right.
So the higher you're going in deliverance, the more you're being used in it. You're going to confront some stronger demons that will not leave right away. You know, they're going to fight you. They're going to fight tooth and nail. And that's where we get, when it comes down to being demonically oppressed, demonized, it comes down to legalities. So the enemy works on legalities. If there's a right for that demon to be there, many times, for example, we see people that the demon just won't leave. And we find out later on that that person was holding in unforgiveness. So that gave the demon the legal right to still remain. So you have to make sure that the person has repented, has asked for forgiveness, has closed every door. That way we can get every critter out, because these things, if they have a right to be there, and it could be, as we learned last week in Dallas, it could be through a bloodline curse that was passed on, from their mom, you know, their grandparents, and even further back than that. So it's something that you really got to get down to it. And others, they might need deeper deliverance. I'm talking about, you know, where you're working on the person for a few hours to really get to know their backstory. And then there's others that will be freed instantly. And that's key to note, is that deliverance it's dynamic. It's never the same.
So
you can't treat it like a formula. You know, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit all the time, and just flow through how He's flowing, and it's such an awesome thing, such a beautiful thing. I tell people, you know, when they say, "Oh, it's boring to be a Christian," and I say, "Well, it's not boring if you're a Spirit-filled Christian.
Come on,
if you're casting demons out, if you're laying hands on the sick and they're recovering, there's nothing boring about that. You know, what's boring is just showing up on Sundays. You clap your hands for about an hour, hear a nice motivational speech, and then you leave and you live the same the rest of the week.
Yeah,
that, to me, that's boring. That's not
absolutely."
Church.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I even tell people in my congregation, I'll say this over and over because I have a lot of younger ones too. And I'll tell them, I'm like, guys, you know, for the most part, a lot of them are attracted to the scary movies, to the crazy things that Hollywood throws out. And I'm like, if you want to see some crazy stuff, just start praying and getting to the spirit. Start rebuking some spirits. That exorcist starts coming eventually. You know, I don't think you know, depending on what you have, right? Like you said, Pastor, some of them are the more harder ones. So, you know, they're going to be stubborn. They will come out, but they'll come out differently. But at the end of the day, it's like, if you want to experience some of that, just get into prayer. Start going into a prayer closet. Start praying for your family. Start praying for yourself. Start praying over your church, congregation, and begin to cast out devils. You'll experience a lot of that stuff. Like, you want to see that? Don't worry. It's real. You know, like this.
That's right.
You know, but. All right, well, let's take a break real quick. Pastors, I'll give you a chance to go back behind the scenes and maybe drink up some coffee, take a breather real quick.
Yeah, we have some right here. Look at that.
Look at that.
I got it in my Bucky's cup. So
come on. Man, I love Bucky's. It's a good place. I go there. We have to go there. If we're anywhere near a Bucky's, we always have to go. And I come back with all these barbecue sauces, barbecue seasonings. Awesome. But okay, pastors, we'll bring you back here shortly. We're going to go ahead and take a small commercial break, if you would, to just introduce some of the things that I do on my podcast. We'll bring you back. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right, everybody. Are you guys enjoying this conversation? I mean, I love them so much. They're awesome. Pastors Hugo and Pastor Myra Vargas from The Power of the Gospel. Good conversations. But you know what time it is right now? It is time to drop it in the chat. If you want a chance to win a free cup of coffee or tea, whatever you go with, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Drop coffee and Jesus in your chat. You have to do it live right here in this moment. And what I'll do is I will raffle off later on, you know, that gift card, if you would, to be able to buy yourself one cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever it is that you drink. And for those of you who win, you know that, you know, except for my family, if my family wins, like my kids and all that, I usually cover them like that day, or we cover them on when I go take them out. But if you are a guest or a visitor, or if this is your first time, just trust and believe that I will email you a gift card if you happen to be the winner. And you have to stay tuned to my podcast, my page, my Instagram too, because that's where I post the winner. So coffee and Jesus, drop it in the chat while you're there waiting. We're here having a good conversation with our good friends. All right. I don't need my wife to check on the Instagram portion of it. But also, I wanted to just bring up too, while we're there waiting for the coffee and Jesus to continue to come on, we will have what we call the Overflow Cafe. Our church, Jubilee Ministries, is the church I pastor, and we will be doing a Overflow Cafe fundraiser for a youth fundraiser November 22nd. From 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. So November 22nd, Saturday, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. We have quite a bit of good drinks there. We got some, you know, my favorite is the coconut latte, but the pumpkin latte was a very good one as well. And so I was like, hey, man, you know, get you some coffee, get you some, order some, help us out, you know, get you something that you're going to be able to go through the day. We also got teas. We got matcha tea. That's one of the more common ones that I see. And then on the tea side, coconut tea is one I go with. So if you're looking at your screen, this will be happening on November 22nd from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. So you place your orders with me, or you go to, you know, to our youth's page, our church page, wherever, and just let us know. Help support the ministry. We call it Overflow Cafe by Jubilee. So, yeah, that's our name of our Overflow Cafe. All right, and then last but not least, I did want to say that we will be having a praise and worship service at Jubilee Ministries, our church, on December 6th. Do not miss out. This is a Holy Ghost-filled service. You want some fire? You want to experience what it just, you know, going to a service and just worshiping and praising God with music and singing and, you know, hey, we're going to do that December 6th at 5:30. It's another Saturday. So mark that down on your calendar. December 6th at 5:30 p.m. in the afternoon. And we look forward to seeing all of you there. Yeah. Abby, we're hoping to see you too. So I see that you're in the chat there. God bless y'all. Good to see you. All right, let me just get a drink of coffee and we'll bring our good friends back here. Okay, we're going to bring them on back. So let me head on over to my area. So for those of you who are just tuning in or maybe tuned in midpoint, we have our good friends, Pastor Hugo and Pastora Myra Vargas, and they are from the Power of the Gospel. And let me just take this thing off your slide here because I know everybody can see it. All right. So we have them we're hosting them today on our show, A Cup with Pastor. And we've been talking a lot about deliverance. We've been talking about, can a Christian believer be possessed? And we're going to continue that conversation as to where the Lord takes us. And I think that it's important to just know that when we think about, can a Christian believer be possessed? It's important to understand. You have to know, like Pastor Hugo said, how our body is broken up into, right? And how we're broken up, how the Lord has done it, what is he using the Old Testament to show us how it was broken up? Well, let me just start off by saying this. So in the Old Testament, the tabernacle had three parts. There were three parts to the tabernacle. The first part was called the outer courtyard, which was everything around. Imagine you have this big old land that's been fenced in and you know, and then in the middle you have the tabernacle portion of more we're going to go into. But on the outside is the outer courts. That's where everybody could chill. You didn't have to worry about being good, being bad. You know, you could just chill. It was the outer courts of it. That's where the majority of people spent their time with. And then you went into this middle portion of it. In the middle there, and I had a diagram, pastors, but I didn't get it uploaded in time. I realized that. But anyways, the middle portion of this was what they called the holy place. It's the next section. This is where the priests were able to go in there and do their sacrificial, you know, cleansing and offer up what they needed to offer. You know, on the outside is where the sacrifice happened, but then they'd go in there and cleanse their hands. But it was the holy place was where the priests were allowed to be in. Okay, so that's the second part. And then they would go and step one step further. And the furthest part, the smaller portion of it, was called the Holy of Holies. And that is where the presence of God dwelt. That is where only once a year the priest could go in there, provided they had been cleansed. They have, you know, had no sin. You know, they had already offered sacrifice to the Lord to be forgiven for whatever. And they were only allowed in there one time. If they went in there without permission, they would instantly die because it's the presence of God, you know, in that moment. So that is when, Pastor, when you mentioned earlier the three Trinity portion of our body, right? It's similar to that. We have the outer courts. We have the soul and then the spirit. So the outer courts, if you wouldn't think about this, the outer courts is the flesh. The outer courts is what can be seen, touched, felt, the senses. It is the complete flesh manifestation. What we see when people are yelling or flipping people off, that is the flesh. That is the outer courtyard, right? And then when you think about the holy place, that is the place where the soul dwells. That's the soul portion, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, things that you cannot touch, but you know it exists, right? And then the last part is where our spirit dwells, where God's spirit is. And it's with the Spirit that we are, when we're born again, that's where he takes residence in that Holy of Holies. So when we talk about, can a Christian believer be possessed? Well, no, because the Holy of Holies place, that's the representation, is our spirit, and our spirit belongs to Christ, right? Our spirit,
right,
we have given to him. So Satan can't take over that because that is God's place. However, if they are a non-believer and they have not accepted, then that place is open. It's vacant. So what? Yes. That's why where the full possession comes in, because that place has not yet been filled by the Holy Ghost, right? So when we think about that, I want us to think, and we'll talk more about this, but the Spirit of God dwells in our spirit, which is the Holy of Holies. And this is the part that if you're not committed to Christ, it's that part that is possessed. But for a believer, we are owned by the Spirit. We are born again. And it's not the soul or the flesh where the Christ, the Spirit of dwells in, but it is a part of the Holy of Holies where our spirit dwells in. So I'll stop right there. I just wanted to share that knowledge that I've gotten a while back. So go for it, Pastor. What do you have for us?
Yeah, that's a good revelation. The way you broke it down, it's exactly correct. And it reminds me of what it says in Romans 12:2 in regards to the mind portion of the soul. You know, Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds." So I share with the congregation all the time, I've taught this many times, that the mind is the biggest battlefield. That's where the enemy really attacks believers, because he knows that we belong to Christ. He can't touch us,
right?
You know, without God allowing something to happen. The mind is where he's gonna tempt us. He's gonna try to bring fear. He's gonna try to bring torment, you know, with thoughts. You know, he'll bring in thoughts of lust, thoughts of whatever the case might be, to bring us down, to get a hold of our minds. So that's the biggest battlefield. You know, it's funny because Paul didn't say, you know, oh, you're saved, and you know, oh, you're good. You know, you don't have to be transformed. No, he said, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And this is a daily thing, you know, because it happened to me yesterday. I enter my secret place to pray, and I have like 1,000 things going on in my head, and I can't connect to, you know, to God. I'm in there and I'm struggling. It took me a few minutes. So the enemy doesn't want us connecting. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to read our word, because he knows the authority that we carry. And that's another thing, is we have to exercise that authority. I mean, Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Yes.
Therefore we have power and authority in his mighty name over these things. But of course, the enemy tries to attack us with fear.
Yes.
And we know per 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
So come on.
We need to know that authority, and we need to walk in that daily. You want to share?
Yeah, you know, I think about, you know, the way God created us. So God created us to be spirit, to be soul. Mm-hmm. That is the order: spirit, soul, and then flesh.
That's right.
And the word of God says that, you know, when the serpent came, the serpent did not come with a sword or you know, with a gun to say, hey, you either sin or else.
Right.
He didn't. Mm-mm. The serpent showed up to, you know, sweet talk Eve in a way that he won her over. And when he was able to persuade her and was able to just really win her over to enter sin, the word of God said that they saw themselves naked.
Yeah.
So they hadn't seen themselves, because that was not the order that they were operating in.
Come on.
And we should be operating in the spirit, because God says in his word over and over, walk in the spirit.
Yes.
So I think, you know, right now, it's not spoken enough, you know, the way that we're supposed to operate, because the enemy, you know, doesn't play fair, and he's always looking for entries.
Yeah.
What entries? What's going to enter your eyes?
Yeah.
What's going to enter your ears? What's going to enter your mouth? What's going to, you know, he's just looking for those entry points. And this is where we really have to learn the word of God, really have to know how he designed us in order for us to fully function the way that we should.
I was thinking about, and I was trying to remember, but it came to my mind. I don't remember where it's at. Maybe y'all can help me. I'm looking for the scripture that says the eyes are the
window to the soul.
Yes.
It's in Matthew.
Yes. Yes.
Let me see. I'll try to find it here.
Yes.
But yeah, that's very important. We got to protect the eye gates. And one thing that's crucial, I think, as parents, we got to realize that our kids can be demonized as well.
Yeah.
And I think one way that they're getting demonized is through Nothing wrong with them having tablets, but when they become so obsessed with these
tablets,
they're watching something godly, and then all of a sudden you turn away, you come back, and they're watching something that has it has a little bit of terror in it, fear, you know, something scary.
Yeah,
that's dangerous for our kids, because that spirit of fear, and we know it's a spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Come on.
So that spirit of fear will come in through the eye gates, you know, and now your kid's having nightmares, you know, as you talked about earlier, the night paralysis.
Yeah.
All of a sudden your kid's being paralyzed at night. And so we have to be careful with that, because the enemy, he is that, we know he's defeated. He's under the feet of Jesus Christ, no doubt. You know, he's defeated.
Absolutely.
1 Peter 5:8 tells us he is a roaring lion. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. So we can't underestimate his power either. You know, he is a powerful foe that we face daily. You know, so those are important things to remember. And it looks like somebody put the scripture on the chat right there.
Yeah, I did. That
was you.
Yeah, Matthew 6:2. Okay. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. We control, this is where it's at, in your mind, in your eyes, because what is it that we first see? What does the Bible say? That at first sin, when sin is conceived, it is first desired. It's first like, ooh, it looks good. I want that. And when it takes from that point on, when it goes further and you begin to take action upon it, it births full sin. But it starts with something, right? It starts with either your intellectual way of thinking, or it starts with what you see. It's important that we also, like you said about our kids, I mean, I hit this nail every single time, because I'm like, guys, we need to get out of the whole moment of letting our kids be babysat by shows. I mean, man, our kids are nonstop on tablets and phones. And even, you know, some of my nephews and nieces, that, you know, you take away their tablet or phone and they're all like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm bored. And I'm like,
Yeah,
it has substituted relationship because of technology. You know, it is no longer that we spend time with them, but it's no longer that they're enjoying how to play with toys, little figurines. That is one of my nephews was like, I don't know. I don't want to play that. I want to play with little toys. And I'm like, why not? Like, play with toys. Find something. No, it's boring, because they're so used to the, what is that kind of dopamine? That's the word. They're so used to the dopamine effect of, oh, next video. Oh, it's hitting me. Oh, I like this one. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. And it feeds. And man, we're in a big problem right now. We're in a big, you know, state of trouble for our families, pastors.
And you think about everything going on right now with technology and AI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, let's tell the truth today. I mean, they're programming us, everything that we're seeing, you know, how AI is advancing.
Yeah,
it's programming us, our minds, you know, television, social media, it's all programming for the beast system.
Come
and on. We look at Revelation 13, where it talks about the image of the beast. Well, you say to yourself, image? They didn't have images back then. You know, we're talking thousands of years ago.
Right.
But I believe that this, you know, what John saw could have possibly been an AI image of the beast, you know, the
Antichrist. That's good.
So it's something to note. And even in Daniel, it's in Daniel chapter 12. I forget the verse, but it might be verse 4 around there. But it talks about that in the end, you know, knowledge would increase.
Come on.
So that tells us that you know, knowledge, technology, all that would be so advanced, and we're seeing it already. Yeah. So we have to make sure, again, we were talking about the mind. We got to make sure to protect our minds, you know, because it's a part of our soul, and we got to guard that and be renewed daily, because that's one area I think the enemy has really bound people in, is our minds. Because how many believers do we not see that deal with depression? They deal with, you know, with anxiety, fear, and as believers, we should not be walking that way. We should be walking, you know, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We should be, you know, living in peace. We should really be enjoying our walk with the Lord, it shouldn't be a chore for us. You know, it should be something that we really love and enjoy every day.
Why don't you all take us this way? So, because you made some very good points there, and I want to, you know, kind of piggyback off this. Why don't we go to, what's your advice? How do we renew our minds? How do we move forward from it? We know that. Yeah. So we've talked about, can Christian believers, you know, have a demon? You know, we've talked about that. We talked about the influences. We talked about what we're up against. What would be your advice, your spiritual counsel to people, if they're dealing with something, if they're struggling, how do they renew their mind? How do they take that and make it an applicable and make it applicable to our life today?
Well, I think after we conduct deliverance, I think the most important thing is you have to make sure that you're planted in a good church, a spirit-filled church. Obviously, your church, Jubilee Ministries, is a great church. Our church, you know, you can plant yourself here. You have to be planted and build roots in a church. You got to have that foundation. You got to be reading your word daily. Even if you can only read a few scriptures at a time, that's okay. You got to make sure you're getting the bread from heaven daily.
Yes.
To fill your mind with the goodness of God, the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the word of God is living, powerful, yes, sharper than any two-edged sword. So come there's on. Nothing more powerful than the word of God. And then, of course, you know, worship. We got to stay in a state of worship. We really don't listen to secular music anymore because, right, you know, and not that, you know, all music is bad,
right,
but you got to fill yourself with something that's going to fill, yes, your spirit. You know, we want to fill the spirit, not the flesh and not the soul part. Right. Because a lot of times when you open those doors, mm-hmm, now you're reliving memories of when, yes, you were in high school and
come on,
high school sweetheart and all that. So mm-hmm, those are things that the enemy can use to kind of try to bring you back into that bondage. So I think it's just filling yourself with God daily, being in his presence. You got to be exercising Christ-like character in everything that you do. I mean, from the littlest things to the biggest things. I mean, it's as simple as being at a restaurant and just knowing how to treat a waiter or a waitress. Yeah. You know, someone who's, you know, they might be having a rough day, but you give them that smile.
Yeah.
You know, and you make them feel good. You know, just the way Christ did when he walked the earth. I mean, everywhere he went, I mean, people were being healed, delivered. I mean, they were feeling his love. So we just really have to exercise that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, see, I think the last thing for me is what's in Genesis 2:7. So the word of God says, right, that when he created us, you know, he was breathing on us, the Ruach HaKodesh,
come on,
which is the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. So yes, that is our life source. The more we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the more we seek that relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more we're going to be led the correct way. Now, instead of reaching into the, you know, sources such as TikTok or anything online, it is so important that we seek the Holy Spirit, because that is the spirit of truth.
Yes.
Truthfully, nowadays with technology, with TikTok and everything, you know, rising, there's a lot of twisting of the word. There's,
yeah,
a lot of false prophets. And the, absolutely, last thing we want is for anybody to be deceived. So as my husband mentioned, the more we are grounded in the word of God, the more we pick up the physical Bible and we actually see it with our eyes, allow it to enter our soul through their entry points, then the more filled we're going to be with the Holy Spirit. So for me, that's critical.
Absolutely. Well, hey, it has been so awesome having you on this, you know, on our podcast. I know that it was like, hey, you want to join, jump on not too long ago. And then you're like, yeah, sure. I know it's a sacrifice of, you know, your morning, but I praise God because I know that Lord has blessed y'all with, you know, being able to share what y'all have shared. So why don't y'all real quick, just tell us where you're located. So that way, in case someone is on that side of town over there, they can go and visit you guys.
Definitely. Our church is located at 2200 North Lee Trevino. It's suite B3B. So we're in the smaller shopping center, literally right across from Hanks High School. From when you exit our building, you can see Excalibur Stadium right there. And I just want to share also that if there's anyone that's dealing with, maybe you need deliverance, please feel free to visit us and we'll help you. And likewise, Jubilee Ministries, the Pastor Jonathan,
amen,
you all do deliverance. So
yeah,
if you need deliverance, I mean, you have two churches here that will help you and guide you in that area. So we're here to serve. You know, we love deliverance because it sets people free.
That's
and,
right.
And it demonstrates the love of Christ. So we're always here to serve anytime people need it.
I'll just add one thing really,
yeah,
quick. So I mean, if there's any ministers that are watching right now, any pastors, any churches who have been thinking about it, but maybe you're not equipped, maybe you haven't engaged because of that, we're here to serve you. So don't hold,
amen,
back, because the
come
word
on
of God says that what we freely receive, it's important that we also freely give. So,
that's
you
good
know, we're here to serve at any level, and we want to make sure that, you know, the body of Christ, amen, is equipped for the times that are coming.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, I will let y'all get back on with your day. Thank y'all so much. We are blessed to have y'all. It is, I'm honored to call y'all friends, great friends of ours. We've been friends for a few years now, and God has continued to sharpen iron with iron. And, we love you guys. We thank y'all. Our church loves you, and I felt the same way from your church as well. So, keep on moving forward. We're here to serve you as well. Whatever we can assist with, please let us know, pastors. God bless y'all.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you.
All right, everybody. So we are going to finish up this podcast episode. And hey, it was so awesome to have them on. I mean, I knew that they would be just so insightful, so giving us the word, different ideas, different things lessons and just wisdom that comes from them. They have a lot of experience in that because from the time they were called to minister, they've been doing deliverance nonstop. So these are more of your advanced ministerial, pastors that have been in the trenches, like I said, and have been just dealing with this day in, day out. They take on those harder cases. They're like the Supreme Court kind of thing. Well, we're going to get there. But hey, I want to say it is a blessing to have all of you on, all of you who have jumped on and just sat in with this podcast. I go live for the most part every Saturday at 9 a.m. Unless I'm not able to due to, pastoral work, church work. And lately it's been a bit busy with my wife recovering, and I've been really busy. I've not been able to dedicate a lot of time elsewhere. So it has been, one of those things where I've had to cancel a couple of Saturdays. But just know that we're here. We're here to serve you. Jubilee Ministries, is our church. And of course, you heard the power of the gospel from the pastors. They're there to serve you as well in any way they can. But we're here to ensure that you understand something, that deliverance is real. Demons are real. And yes, demons can, they can be in the portion of the soul for a believer. But that doesn't mean they own that. And it doesn't mean that they need to stay there. The way Jesus handled those spirits, those people that were in the temple at that moment, and they were there doing all their nonsense. And when Jesus became upset, he went and cast them out. He got them. He got them to leave the temple. All those people that were trying to gain profit from the temple. So we got to do the same. So you don't have to stay in bondage. You don't have to stay dealing with your problem. Reach out to us. We want to get to know you more. We want to get to pray for you and get anything out that needs to be cast out of you in the name of Jesus. But remember, you have the victory. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a minister. You have the authority of the believer. That is most important. You have the name of Jesus. And if you call upon that name and believe upon him, he will come through for you. So right there where you're at, why don't we just go into prayer and let's just pray. I'm going to pray over your lives. Just receive it. Okay. Just receive this prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this podcast, God. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for bringing on our guests. I pray that you would bless the pastors of the power of gospel, Lord, that you would continue to move in their ministry, Lord. I pray for every listener, every viewer, for those that have not received Christ, those that have not been baptized in the name of Jesus to be born again. I pray over their lives. I pray that right now you would touch them, God, and give them a conviction, a healthy, holy conviction to come to you, Lord. And I pray that whatever it is that they're dealing with, whatever struggle they have, whatever they are fighting with in their mind and their body, whatever it may be, God, that you would bring them to get their assistance, to get deliverance, God, to be healed, God, in Jesus' name. I pray that you would continue to bless this podcast and the listeners and those that are listening later on to the audio portion of it, God. I pray that you would bless it. Let them be filled. Give them a word. Let them have something to move inside of their spirit. Let them be a doer and not just a hearer. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you have not accepted Christ, I'm going to tell you this right now, then it's time that you begin to know who he is, because he desires that you would come to him. He desires that you would give your life to him and be baptized to be a born again Christian, to be a born again believer. So you know what it means to be born again and to be able to walk in the identity and the fullness of what God has given you. And if you haven't done that yet, reach out to me. I would love to talk to you. There is so much to your life that God still wants to do. And for all my believers, stay in the prayer closet. Stay in the prayer chamber. Stay fed. Stay plugged into a church. Church is absolutely important. Find a church. Plug in. Do not stray away. Because when you're isolated, the enemy attacks. Don't be isolated. All right. Well, y'all have a great Saturday. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to share. And I will be doing the raffle later on today. So God bless you. And thanks for coming in.